Hello, audience. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And it's a Christmas miracle. Screen Verdict, after a little break, have come back together, reunited, brought together by the Christmas spirit in order to bring you a podcast for the holidays.
I love it.
I've been itching. I get itchy when I don't podcast. I'm ready to go. I'm all fired up.
Yes. There's some Christmas spells.
Yeah. Matt seemed disinterested, but he was just getting the bells ready.
Yes. That's exactly what I was doing.
Now, I'm sure you guys are excited for the podcast because we've taken a little break, but I know there's another reason you're excited for this podcast in particular, because our previous podcast didn't actually end. I think it started. We said we'll come back to it. Cliffhanger! There was a cliffhanger and we're going to resolve it today.
Yes, there was a cliffhanger.
All right, Matt doesn't know what the cliffhanger is because sometimes we talk about things and Matt and I have a lot of history to draw back from. And whatever we were talking about made me think of a situation between Matt and I that I never got an answer to. And now, after all these years, is the time to get the answer.
Matt, whoa, this is huge.
Matt, what do you think of when I say traveler's checks?
I can't think of anything. Like, is this like a first word that pops in your head? Traveler's check. Vacation.
Vacation. Okay. Now, have you ever taken a vacation and used traveler's checks?
I don't think so. Maybe we went on a family holiday and my parents got them.
Or perhaps I should say not use traveler's checks.
Yes, I've not used traveler's checks.
Okay, this is the situation. So, Matt and I, we often are on this like similar levels. Like we're getting each other. Matt's not getting me right now.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And so sometimes Matt will say something that I just don't understand. And the fact that we do understand each other most of the time just makes me flip out twice as hard. And there was a conversation where I just totally lost it at Matt, because Matt said that he had bought a bunch of traveler's checks for a trip to the US. Okay. So I guess this must have been Australian money to US money. And you brought this up and you said, oh, you know what? I just realized I've got, I can't remember, but let's just say, you know, $500 in these traveler's checks. And I said, why don't you cash them out? The exchange rate at the moment is great. And you're like,
oh, okay. This is like, oh, I had a travel card with travel money on it.
So ah, travel card.
Like
there you go.
$500 in US dollars left on that card.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, I don't remember this conversation yet. But I do know that I would have been in that situation. Yeah.
So I asked Matt why I didn't cash them out, because the exchange rate at the time was great. And Matt was like, oh, but it might get better. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is like you're on a 19 in blackjack and you're like, oh, I'm going to hit here. I'm going to hit. I think it could get even better.
Yeah.
Matt, do you still have the money in that traveler's card? And B, if you cashed it out, was it at a better exchange rate than when I flipped out at you for not changing it already?
I don't know. Do you want me to try to, while we're doing the podcast, look up my bank statements and see if I can find out what the status of my travel cards are for housekeeping at the end?
The status of your travel cards. That makes me think that this is ongoing. That you still, this has been like 9 years in like an interest-free account that this money has been sitting there.
Okay, let's, I'll try to get an answer for you by the end of the podcast.
I mean, I kind of hope that you'd forgotten about it altogether, and me bringing this up was basically like me giving you a $500 Christmas present.
Oh, I was going to go, oh, I forgot I had $500.
Yeah, or else that money would have been lost.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got my wallet on so I can check what my bank account card number is. I can't even remember my password to my online banking thing.
All right. Anyway. So that's good. I've got Matt sidetracked for the remainder of the podcast. We're going to be talking about Arrival. Arrival, the sci-fi film from... Gee, normally I make fun of Matt's pronunciations of things, but I've only read this guy's name. I haven't seen any interviews or anything. I really should have YouTubed this beforehand. Denis Villeneuve? Villeneuve? Nuve? One of those. One of those has got to be correct.
He's the guy. He's made a movie, feather in his cap.
Yeah. And I was, all right. Pre-film expectations. I was pretty keen. Generally pretty interested in sci-fi. Somewhat like Amy Adams, like Jeremy Renner. And I had seen both Prisoners and Sicario from this director, and they were both great. You want to know how great Prisoners was? That was a 2.5-hour film that I watched on a plane and didn't fall asleep during.
That's good.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive. I was interested in Arrival because I really like Amy Adams and I'm somewhat interested in sci-fi films. So it's sort of like the reverse to you.
Yeah, I was pumped. So I guess, are we going to do a spoiler podcast or non-spoiler podcast?
I think we need to talk about the ending of it at some point, whether we want to talk about it more generally, then give a spoiler warning and talk about the end, or whether we just want to like let loose on spoilers the whole way through. I do not mind.
Because it's a little bit hard to talk about. It's a little bit of a mystery. I mean, we can really only talk about the first 15 minutes of the film without giving too much away.
We can say spaceships land, like that's... Yeah. I don't think a spoiler. There's aliens.
Anything that's in the trailer is fair game.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. Out of nowhere, a bunch of aliens show up. Kind of like, well, not really necessarily aliens, but ships. There are these kind of these weird cone. Was that not the, that's not the right word? Mixed like a cone and an egg, and that's sort of the shape of these ships. They just show up out of nowhere, and there's 12 all around the world. And there's one just off I think, the west coast of Australia. Australia represent.
Yeah.
Yeah, out there in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, I saw that when there was pinging, like ping, 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 all spaceships and where that all landed. Like, Australia's sort of like the last one to light up, and I was like, oh, yeah, we got one. Yeah. And then, like, they zoomed in on it later in the movie, and it's, like, more, like, just off the coast. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even on Australia. It was, like, in the ocean.
Yeah, but they... I guess we claimed it, though, because as we see at various points throughout the film, there are, I guess, centres or analysts or whatever from each location that are all trying to communicate with the ship near them. And an Australian guy was there, claiming that ship. They go, yep, this is the Australian ship. The Australian scientists are on it. Get lost, India. Get lost, Indonesia. We've claimed this one.
Yeah. Do you... this is a question I've got for you, which I'm glad that I can talk to you about this, actually, is that there's a control room where we've got... is it Joaquin Phoenix? Is he sort of in the mix?
Nah.
He looks like him. He looked like him to me.
I think his name's Michael Stuhlbarg or something
that
like that.
Oh, that guy! Yeah.
He's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's in Men in Black 3. Just...
Yeah.
seasoned actor.
Yeah. That's, anyway, that guy is sort of in a control room, and it's sort of... I'm sure he's got a lot of jobs, but one of his jobs sort of, like, running the communication with all the guys, right? Like, all the people from the other sites, like the Chinese, the Russians, all these people. There's someone that he seems to be getting more information from than anyone else in the control room, and we see quite a lot of the Australian guy. He seems to be doing most of his correspondence with the Australian guy. He's always the guy we're going to. Was that something that is did for the Australian version of the film? Like, or in your American version did the Australian guy also get a lot of airplay?
Just to appeal to the local markets. Mm. It's like, no, I actually watched a bootleg Canadian version, and they're like, what about that? I should have picked an accent that I can do. Anyway, no, the Australian guy. He was in it. Worldwide fame. Worldwide fame for the Australian scientist.
Yeah, so he was in it a lot. Like, he was one of the main guys that corresponded with the guy.
A boot. That's what I should have said. A boot. That's the one word I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so...
Cool.
When the ships come, this... pretty much hysteria. How would you react to an alien presence, Matt? Would you think, this is great, we're going to meet new life form, this is like a sci-fi movie come to life, but like a good sci-fi movie, or a bad sci-fi movie? Would you flip out? Would you go, that's it, we're all getting murdered, we're all getting killed? Or some people thought it was a religious thing. They're like, okay, yep, these are our new overlords. Tell us what you would like us to do, and we'll bow down to you. How would you react, Matt?
Well, I'll tell you two things I wouldn't do.
By process of elimination, I'm going to get an answer to my question.
Yeah. One, I wouldn't just go as close as possible to the spaceships. Could be some danger, could be some explosions, could be, you know, I want to be avoiding that drama a bit. If I happen to be quite near one of them already, like it was on my, like, you know, work right nearby, I might, like, go out, get a quick selfie or bit of video or something of it, and then get hightail it out of there. But I definitely wouldn't be going out of my way to get as close as possible to them. But also, I guess, like at the university, just everyone, like, it was very hard to get out of the parking lot. Everyone was, like, sort of panicking and stuff. And I probably wouldn't be that either, because I think, like, well, they're either going to, like, destroy everyone and we're sort of, like, screwed whether we're in this university or not. So I might as well wait for everyone else to clear out then go. Always sort of fine, and there's no hurry to get out of there. So I think I'd, like, sort of probably just... stay calm for a little bit of time, just sort of collect my things and then sort of come up with a plan of, okay, what do we do? I think the panicking's a bad option, but I also think the getting as close as possible is a bad option.
Hmm. I feel like getting that spaceship selfie is probably going to be pretty cool for around like 24 to 36 hours. It would be like one of the, being your first friend, like the first person in your friendship group to post the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
But by like day three, like, yeah, we get it. Like, there's spaceships here. Nothing's happening. They haven't killed anyone, and you can just go up and take a selfie. Good job. That's half of Facebook. Half of Facebook has a photo next to a spaceship.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'd still probably do it if it wasn't out of my way.
Yeah, what's the distance? How close do you think is safe? Would you go 100 meters? 500 meters?
I don't know. Like, I just say you can see it in the photo. I don't really care how small it is. I'm not going over government, like, tape.
You're not... Matt, I thought you were a maverick. A renegade. A not true a selfie like hunter. That,
man. The government's going to be pretty antsy about this alien sort of arrival. They're not going to be taking any chances, I don't think.
Oh, man. Not as brave as the kids from Stranger Things.
I think that's a bit different. That's like, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think I'd probably be pretty nervous at first. I think I'd get less nervous as it goes on. Because I'd probably be like, well, if they were here to kill us, they'd probably have killed us by now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I'd be pretty intrigued. I'd be pretty intrigued to see the aliens. And the government is pretty intrigued to communicate with the aliens because they want to know why they're here. How they got here, who are they, where are they from, all of that good stuff. So they go to Amy Adams, who is, I guess, a renowned language expert. I'm sure there's a technical term for it. But she
linguist.
A linguist. She works at some stuffy university. And they say, you're the best, but we're not going to give you much information. And she's like, well, whatever. I don't need you. And they're like, we're going to go to this other guy that we know is not as good as you unless you play ball. And she's like, okay, but ask this question to the second best guy because he won't get it because I'm number one. And then they're like, okay, we asked the other guy that question. We're taking you to the spaceship.
Yeah. I loved how that question was the key.
Yeah.
Is this the move, right? Okay. I'm just thinking this now. Like, let's say there's a girl you like and she's thinking about going out with someone else.
Mm. Disaster.
This is a crisis.
The stakes could not be higher.
Yeah, the stakes. is the move to say to the girl, and if you're a girl listening to our podcast, just reverse it with guys. Whoever you're interested in.
Whatever applies to you.
Someone you're interested in is thinking about going out with someone else or just starting going out with someone else. Is the move to say to them, get them to ask the guy a question? Like, think of some question that people usually give lame answers to or something. Or just a question that they might not be on the same wavelength as the girl with. Might get them to question that guy or girl's the person they should be going out with.
That's when you want you need the inside knowledge. Like, you go, look, he's pretty cool. Everybody likes him. You know, how am I going to make him look uncool? Well, look, I know she loves Coldplay, and I know he hates Coldplay. So I got to say, I was talking to Dave the other day about music, got some interesting taste on music. You should ask him what his favorite Coldplay album is. Boom, done. Killed it right there.
Yeah. Bam. That's good. I think also, like, you can ask them some vague question that no one really has a good answer for.
That'll just make them seem boring?
Yeah.
I don't know how you, like, feed someone that boring a question, though, to the point where they go, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll go ask them that boring question. So, how was your childhood?
No, I think it's more a question like sort of ask him the one thing he can't live without or something like that.
I'm just trying to picture the context for this. Like, why are you giving me questions to ask some other guy?
Okay, let's role play this. I think just ask him.
You bring everybody together and then you're the one that does the asking. And so he looks bland in front of her.
Yeah. I think there's some, like, weight. This is the thing. Like, the way Amy Adams did in this movie about the scientist linguist guy is it adds weight to the question. Like, you know, if you say it in the right tone, you're like, just when they're about to leave, oh, yeah, that's cool, you want to go out with that guy. Actually, just ask him this one thing. And, like, all of a sudden, like, the answer to that question, she goes, oh, boy, I should ask him that thing. Like, it puts weight on that question, and he needs to bring a really good answer to impress her then. But you sort of put pressure on the question. Like, what do you think?
He got Columbo'd. It's like, okay, yeah, well, thanks for your time, Jen. Just one more question.
Yeah.
That's the complicated thing, I guess, about linguistics. I never understand this when they say, when people talk about translations, say, for example, ask him what the Sanskrit meaning, Sanskrit word for war is. And they said, oh, it was this. Oh, no, ask for the what the word is and the translation. And the answer was something like, oh, it's this word and the translation is argument.
Yeah.
And my thought process is, well, isn't that the word for argument and not the word for war?
Yeah, I was confused and I didn't think, like, really this was that... That's why I'm thinking, like, is this a good move? And it might not be with a girlfriend or boyfriend. It could be if, like, you know, your boss is thinking of giving someone else a promotion or whatever. Like, whatever the sort of situation is, maybe just the idea of a sort of a strategically placed question is actually more important than what that question actually is or what the answer actually is. It just puts pressure on and it can add some doubt when you hear the answer of sort of like, oh, do we really, is that really the kind of answer we want from the kind of guy we want to be doing this alien thing? Like, is that really the kind of answer we want from the kind of guy who's going to be running HR next year? Is that really the kind of answer we want from the kind of guy that's going to be going out with, like, maybe my future husband? Like, goodness.
I'm surprised this isn't a crossover film with Inception, because you just got incepted.
Yeah. I think also it was sort of bizarre how, what's his name? It was a Forrest Whitaker. Thought by just playing her like a couple of seconds of like sort of... Like, she'd be able to translate exactly good. What that meant.
Yeah, bizarre. Like, I guess in terms of... Like, he was coming from a base level of understanding of what this mission was going to entail. He was like, I'm going to play you some sounds, and I've heard you're the best, world's best linguist, so translate now.
Yeah, yes.
Like, little does he know that that's going to take up, like, 90 minutes of the film. You're not going to solve it this scene, you idiot.
Yeah. Like... Who would think that that's how, like, and then she's like, well, look, I really need to meet the guys and talk with them a bit more to be able to translate. And goes, right, that's it. We go to the guy who wasn't as good as you.
What frame of reference does she have there? No. Yeah, well, yeah, the bass sounds like the Cambodian cricket. And the high-pitched scratching sounds like the Angolan seagull. So if I combine the two based on weather patterns and time of year, I think what he's trying to say is... How is that going to work?
I have no idea. Forrest Whitaker, like, I did have the person I saw the movie with really enjoyed the movie. He thought it was great. But he did say afterwards he thought Forrest Whitaker was, like, so much more stupid than you expect someone to be. Like, and it's sort of like, for the whole movie, sort of like, does he not, like, we've all learnt to speak English. It, like, understanding language is not something that just happens at the drop of a hat. Like.
Maybe he's playing games. He's, you know, treat him mean, keep him keen. That's the approach he's got to take to get the interest of the linguist.
Yeah, maybe.
Got to show her who's boss. I'm the government. I'm going to make ridiculous demands, and then you come to me to prove that you're qualified.
Yeah, maybe that's the move. Yeah, maybe that's it. And also, like, if you have unrealistic expectations, maybe that pushes someone to do their absolute best.
Mm.
Like, they're not going to be faffing around.
It's like day one of a new job. It's like, guys, expectations here are really high. Just like unrealistically high. So yeah. You need to step it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah. Anyway, the other guy doesn't work out. He answers the question badly, or he was set up for disaster by being asked to answer a sort of pointless question. And they come in style in a helicopter to pick her up in the middle of the night.
Mm.
Pack your things. He lost the question. Let's get to meet these aliens.
Yeah, see, I think it definitely is the treat him mean, keep him keen, because they rock up in the helicopter and he's like, let's go. She's like, oh, can I have 20 minutes to pack my things? Which is like, that's not a bad sort of, you know, first suggestion, first deal. You know, 20 minutes is pretty fast. You know, yeah. she didn't come at it from an unrealistic perspective. And he's like, you've got 10. It's just his way, man. He's just a dick. He's just always
what about his sort of Bostonian accent that went in and out throughout the movie?
I don't know. Well, look, he was spending all this time around with these linguists. They affected his speech.
Mm. Yeah.
Affected his accent throughout the film. So there you go. They rock it. That's pretty cool, actually. That's a cool start. Like, I'm in at the helicopter already. Like,
yeah. It actually, the film got to the aliens relatively quickly, I thought. There wasn't too much of it from beginning of film to getting to the sort of crux of the film.
Mm. So there's a whole bunch of people, but really the main people we're focusing are Amy Adams, the linguist, and then Jeremy Renner, who's some kind of physicist, engineer, just generally smart science guy.
Yeah.
They're like,
he's a science guy, she's the English guy, they sort of have slightly different priorities. She's more interested in understanding the language of the aliens, and he thinks it's more important understanding all the scientific things.
Mm. And basically, they're going to be given access to the ship, and it's their job to try and communicate with these aliens and decipher their intentions. And this takes up a good portion of the film. It's really tense. There's kind of breakthroughs. There's kind of, you know, how it affects them outside of the spaceship as well. And it was too much for some people. Now they get there, and you know, some guys are getting taken off on a stretcher. Like, imagine showing up like your first day of like softball practice, you know, in like middle school or something, and like the first day of training, there's someone just getting stretched off the field. Yeah. This was a heck of a first day.
Yeah. It's epic. And they enter the spaceship. There's like every 15 hours the aliens open the spaceship. People can just pop on in, have a bit of a look, look around. Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is the spoiler sticking point, really.
They can walk up the walls in the spaceship. Is that like a spoiler?
Yeah, the atmosphere, the gravity, the physics, it all changes once you're inside the spaceship.
Which led to I found a really tense scene while they were first walking up there, because I was sort of a bit like, I'd find that really scary. Like, I'd go, well, what if the atmosphere changes at any point? I'll just fall to my death. Like, you know, sort of like that feeling you got when you first abseil and you go off the top of the thing.
Yes, except the rope is invisible alien technology.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I really liked all of these scenes going in and out of the spaceship. I felt like I really was in a spaceship. It was kind of tense and moody. And anytime we're in the spaceship, I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, I was just kind of glued to the screen.
I'm thinking, I agree.
What's going to happen next? Who's going to say what? What's, are they going to jump out? Do? What are they going to?
Yeah, and it like wasn't an action film, and it wasn't particularly fast paced. Like, they were very slow scenes, but yeah, they were very mesmerizing, and yeah, I like, was sort of very invested in all of those scenes.
Yeah, this doesn't build into sort of like a Star Wars or Independence Day shootouts and action.
Yeah.
You know, it is comparatively slower, but at the same time, I thought it was riveting based on partially just how it was, how it looked and how it was made, but also the storyline as we kind of weave into what we learned through the linguistics. I was hooked. I wanted to know more. I was like, what's next? What's next? What next?
Yeah. I think there's also, like, in the spaceship, like, a glass wall separating the humans from the aliens. I think that's probably in the trailer, I would guess.
It's like the best zoo ever. Like, when you go to the zoo, and then there's, like, a glass wall, and then, you know, you're kind of looking, and then out of the side, you see the tiger go past, and you're like, damn, there's the tiger! Imagine that, but with aliens.
Yeah, but I did think, like, oh, they've got glass in their planet, or, like, I wonder if that's actual glass, or, like, their own sort of material that looks a bit like glass. I don't know, like, that sort of interested me.
Yeah, because Matt getting into it on a very scientific level. You're like, what is this material made of? Is it glass? Is it some sort of see-through plastic? Is it something we don't even have in our universe?
Yep.
So Matt clearly identified with Jeremy Renner's character.
Yes. I was just, like, interested because I was like, oh, it looks, because as you're saying, it looks a bit like a zoo or an aquarium or something. I was like, oh, it's sort of interesting how sort of similar vibes that sort of has if they had any reference points to sort of us in Earth or just sort of as a coincidence that they ended up looking similar and had some glass-like material.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe they had somehow had observed Earth and thought, you know what? Sharks are pretty scary to humans. But when they're on the other side of the glass window in an aquarium, people aren't afraid of sharks. So we're going to go there. And if we don't want to freak out the humans right away, we'll just put a glass barrier there and then sit behind it. And then they'll be like, okay, yeah, we're not as afraid of these aliens because of this glass barrier.
That's interesting because when you think about it, the sharks don't decide that at the aquarium.
I know. See, that's the genius of the aliens because it makes them think that they are the sharks, but really the humans are the sharks.
Mm. Yes, I like that.
Mm. They're smart.
Like that. Good thought.
They're smart, these aliens. They sharked us.
So what do we talk about now? Do we go into spoilers now? Do we give a review and then go into just what we thought about the ending of the movie? What do you think?
Let's give a review and then do a spoiler section at the very end. That way people don't have to figure out whether to come back in. They can just listen to the podcast, and then if they want to have spoilers, we'll do spoilers at the end.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. Matt, what did you think of Arrival?
It was good. Oh, there's a review now. Right.
Succinct. I like it.
I thought it was really, I really liked it. I thought, like, it looked really good. I was, like, interested for most of the time. I thought Amy Adams gave a really, really great performance. I think Jeremy Renner gave a solid supporting dig. And, yeah, I thought it was nice because it's sort of a sci-fi sort of thing, but it also is quite a slow-moving, beautiful film as well. It wasn't like, yeah, I really liked it. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Nice. I too really liked Arrival. I thought it built really well. I was hooked by the premise. I was intrigued. I thought the score was great. I thought the visuals were great. Inside the ship was it looked fantastic. I agree that the performance was really good. Amy Adams was definitely the lead. Jeremy Renner didn't have as much to do as I thought he would, but then I guess his character becomes a little bit more important as it progresses, and as I guess sort of all the jigsaw pieces fall into place, I was just so pleased with the outcome. Because you know how, you know, certain mysteries are answered in films or TV shows, and you think, yeah, that's pretty satisfying, it makes sense, this resolved this, but just the layers to which they had given you the clues, and then they all lined up, about 10 minutes before the end of the film or whatever. It was just one of those, yes, that was perfect. That was so good. That's just like a really, really clever storyline put together. So super, super satisfied. Really can't recommend it much more. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Whoa, that's good. You liked it more than me.
Yes. And well, from the sidelines, we have former girlfriend, don't worry, you didn't break up, now fiancé.
Yes.
Bonnie Eford, who saw Arrival with me. What's your 1 minute opinion on Arrival?
I loved it. It kept me interested.
You didn't fall asleep, I don't think.
I didn't fall asleep, and I'm not a huge Amy Adams fan, but I really...
What?
Yeah.
What, buddy?
I know. And so I wasn't expecting that much out of this film, but I loved it, and it made me really like her. So it was a cool experience for me. It changed my opinion of Amy Adams, and now...
Arrival, the Amy Adams flipper.
That's right.
That's a win. That's a win for the film.
So I would give it an 8.5 out of 10.
There we go.
Right in between us.
Yeah, down the middle. That's a tight grouping.
I didn't want to play favorites, but...
well, there you go. Good scores all around.
Love it.
All right, so that's our review. Are we going to crack open a quick spoiler section if there's any specifics we wanted to...
Store to at the end and see what we thought about that.
All right, so we're going to... For those of you that haven't seen it, we'll wrap it up. Or if you just don't care about spoilers, but for those that you have, we're going to open our spoiler segment now with our spoiler alert. Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoilers now are happening.
Oh, man. Time, man. It's not linear, man. It was the kid. The kid was from after, not before.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts, eh?
That was very cool. So I think I liked how sort of the key to it, which I think they didn't make it too obvious, was when I think she's having a dream, and Amy Adams talks to Jeremy Renner, and he says... something about when you learn a new language, it rewires how you think and you can perceive things the way that, you know, in that new language. So as Amy Adams learns this alien language and aliens don't perceive time in a linear fashion, she too then gains the ability to see time in a non-linear fashion. Mm-hmm. Oh my
goodness. That's cool.
That was nuts.
The thing where, like, I was a bit of an idiot for not getting it was when the girl goes to Amy Adams, she's sort of like, I need a more sciencey word. And her mum goes, talk to your dad about that. He's the scientist. Mm. And I was sort of like, oh, boy, she's really got a thing for scientists.
I guess things didn't work out with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
He took her back to the office, but she found someone better.
Yeah, well, at that point, I thought that was before Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, so that was really clever, the way, you know, you think that she has this sort of chip on her shoulder about this daughter, and you kind of see more clips of this daughter, and, you know, they even say at the start, I thought this was where your story began. But really, it's at the end when she decides to go with Jeremy Renner. That's when the story really began. She's having these dreams where she's dreaming. Well, yeah, she thinks she's these dreams, or she's having these visions of a daughter that she doesn't know, you know, just like a human that she doesn't know exists. But what is actually happening is she is seeing into the future because she's now able to experience time. And at this point, she's not really aware of it or in control of it, but she can, you know, she can basically. I don't think she can time travel necessarily, but like her mind can go to different times, you know, periods of her own sort of life experience along her own timeline.
Mm. Yes.
So I just thought that was so brilliant that the aliens came and, you know, the weapon that they wanted to give them was not really such a weapon as the tool of their own ability to do this. Because they know that in 3,000 years or something that they're going to need help from the humans. So they came now to give humans this gift, this ability, so that they could help them in the future.
What do you think they need help with?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was a little bit open-ended.
And at times, not linear, then what do they mean in 3,000 years?
That's a good question. Well,
There you go. I ruined the movie.
Yeah. Well,
I think the first question, I think it's good that the film didn't become about them needing to be saved in 3,000 years. Like, I don't think they needed to answer that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was good that the film ended up being, in a way, more about Amy Adams than the aliens. Because although the aliens are interesting, you know, there's only so much that we could really be invested in some alien problem that's going to happen 3,000 years from now. So the fact that they tied that, there were two things that they sort of wrapped up that kind of came together, really. One was that basically the Chinese weren't playing ball and they were going to possibly, you know, nuke the spaceships or whatever, and they didn't want that to happen. So she used this gift of hers to go to, after they fixed the problem, and the Chinese leader doesn't know how she did it, but she calls him and gives him his wife's dying words, and he's like, "How would you know that?" And she's like, "Well, trust me, this speaking to the aliens is going to be a good thing." And so then in the future, he's like, "I don't know how you got this, but I'm going to give it to you now so you can go back there, back then, and use it. Like, get my private gnome phone and tell me my wife's dying words."
Yes.
So that was a very clever use of the language. And then the second sort of penny drop moment, if you will, was when you realize that the daughter is from the future and she gets together with Jeremy Renner. But the reason why they broke up is because she knew that the daughter was going to die of an illness in, you know, when she was maybe about 18 or whatever. And he didn't think it was worth going through that pain, but she did think it was worth going through that pain to know her daughter for that amount of time, which was super heavy.
Yeah. Now it's a bit sad in some ways.
Yeah, I mean,
she's going to have to, like, she told Jeremy Renner what the deal was about the daughter, and that's why he left her, right? Because she shouldn't have told him that.
Yes, so I guess they get together, they get married, they have a daughter, and then it seems like, you know, maybe when the daughter's 5 or 6... I'm not sure maybe why he starts to get an inkling, maybe because just he knows that she can, you know, she can see into the future or however it works exactly. And so I think he maybe knows something's up, and then she says, "Well, look, she's going to die at 18, but I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to know because you would have been hurt or you might not have wanted to have her, but I did want to have her anyway." And then he's either upset that he didn't have wasn't a part of that decision making, or just thinks it was the wrong decision. Like, no, it's not worth having a daughter only for her to die at such a young age.
Or so he could think, "I wish you'd never told me," right?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends the extent to which he thinks she is aware of the future. Because even if she doesn't tell him when she dies at 18, he'll probably be like, "Did you know? Did you know this was going to happen?" So it's probably going to be a problem at some point anyway.
Yes. Yeah, because some people don't like, you know, they always say, "Oh, if you could know the day you were going to die, would you want to know it?" And some people go, "Oh, yeah, of course." And some people go, no, I do not want to know that.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die?
When?
Bonnie says when. Why do you say when?
Because that way I can make sure I check off my bucket list before it happens.
Yeah, you got to take care of the bucket list.
It doesn't matter how you're going to die, you're going to die. So knowing when allows you to do all the things you want to do and live life to the fullest. Because if I find out it's next week, I'm going to have a rad week.
And it would also open you up to do more adventurous stuff. You know, if I find out I'm going to die at 75, I'm like, "Well, I'm going skydiving because I don't die."
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that is better, knowing when.
And also, if you find out how you're going to die, if it's something gruesome, you're going to develop anxiety over it. I don't want to. If I die slowly or in my sleep or something, that's great. But if I die in a gruesome way, I don't want to know. I just want it to happen. I don't have to worry about it. I don't want to know.
Yeah, you're going to have to stress every day about, say, you know, you die, you know, from, I don't know, a car crash or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, every day, you're like, nah, I'm not going near any cars. Not today. Not ever. I don't know how it's going to get me, but I'm not going to let it happen today.
So we're
and then a car gets you. At one point, you're like, because, that's how you die. I think, it would be if you knew it was a car thing, every car you got in, or every car you saw, it'd be, is this the one? Is this the one that gets me?
Yeah, well, you are, man, you are, you choke to death on your food.
Yeah.
You're like, every bite, man, that's going to be a stressful bite.
Yeah. Is this the bite that gets me?
Yeah.
Whereas, I guess, when is like, you wake up that day and you go, wonder what's going to happen today that's going to kill me.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a stressful day. But I think the rest of your life will be much better. You've condensed the stress into just one very stressful day.
You might. I reckon the whole week could be a bit scary in the lead up. So, Amy Adams probably in this movie knows when she's going to die.
Yeah, that's true.
Should never be around to see them save the aliens in 3,000 years. Do you reckon humanity's going to save the aliens?
Humanity's going to save the aliens. I like to think so. I think...
You don't think people are going to be like, oh, that's 3,000 years ago. What have the aliens done for us since?
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd think that maybe the aliens would have the knowledge to whether they would do what they need to do in order for it to work, or else they wouldn't bother. I guess that's the sort of a question: are things predetermined, or whether you know this language or this ability has the ability to change things?
Yeah, like because Amy Adams knows that telling Jeremy Renner broke up their marriage, would that mean she doesn't tell him now?
Yeah, it seemed to imply, and this is maybe open for interpretation, that everything sort of happens as it happens.
Yes.
It's
the lost time travel rule. Whatever happened, happened.
And this doesn't... It means you're able to... travel from one point to another in your own timeline, but on your timeline, you are always going to have the ability to do that. So you're always going to be able to go forward and then back to tell the back, you in the back time, whatever you needed to know. So, you kind of have control of what you're doing in the moment, but your timeline is already set and you're kind of just moving along your own timeline. That was my interpretation.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I'll go with that.
Pretty cool.
Thing that sort of, I guess we could have talked about in the other section. What do you think about the alien language? Like the sort of the gassy sort of things on the window?
Ooh, very cool. I liked it. I really liked it because, if they had just made, you know, sort of screeching sounds or something, that would have been, you know, fine, but not necessarily particularly original. And if they'd have just made characters that were kind of similar to, that worked in a similar way to letters, but just looked different, you go, okay. But the fact that they used this sort of shape, you know, it was generally sort of like a circle shape, but with, details to it that changed the meaning, I thought was quite elaborate and just visually quite interesting as well.
Mm. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. It looked like sort of coffee stains, like you know, like if you've left a coffee mug on the table, right? Like it's sort of like the kind of mark that leaves behind.
People are looking at this like, why are you trying to find interpretation in these shapes? Like you're the kind of people that find like Mother Mary in burnt toast.
Yeah.
You're like, you stain the table. Oh, it's the Pope.
Yeah. You'll just look like, yeah, like, you get the alien some coasters.
No, that was very cool stuff, though. I'd like to be able to do that, kind of shoot out some stuff. Because it looked kind of, like, inky and messy, but then it just kind of dissipated.
I thought you were saying you'd like to do that stuff as in be a linguist, and I thought, oh, boy, it looked very time-consuming. It looked very...
You're like, I don't know, Jonathan. Look, maybe aliens will come one day, and you'll be the lead in a very interesting story for the people of Earth. But for the other 30 years leading up to that, you're going to be reading a lot of books.
Very tedious. Yeah. Very tedious work. You don't get montages in real life.
I'd just be like, oh, can I just learn it so I can start? So I can just skip to the end of my timeline.
Yeah. Be like, why don't I just get a selfie with the aliens the first day and say, I didn't know how to do it. Better call that other guy from that other university.
I spent 12 years learning the language and I got less likes than the guy who got the selfie on day one.
Yes. I got an iPhone 7 today.
Oh, can that translate alien?
Don't know. Haven't opened it yet.
I don't know if it's for the iPhone or there's an app, but I heard, it might just be Google Translate, but one of the translating apps now is actually pretty good. Like, you can just take a picture of, you know, a book or something, you know, a paragraph in a book, and it can translate it from the picture, apparently.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, maybe. they call in Amy Adams, and they're like, yeah. Okay, you're the world's best linguist. Can you translate this for us? And she's like... Sure. Siri, translate.
Yeah.
Like, technology, man, they've made us redundant.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. So, what was I going to say? It was
you got a phone.
It was the phone translation sort of thing. Have you ever played that game where you put song lyrics or something into Google Translate in English, get it translated into something else, and then translate it back to English?
No.
Yeah, well, it's a thing people do.
Well, I'll see if me and my trusty 5S can do that. If not, you'll have to let me know... what hilarity ensues with your iPhone 7.
Yeah. You can just do it on your computer.
Oh, my computer.
Yeah.
Bust open the old 2010 MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Anyway, is that us talking about Arrival? Should we go to housekeeping now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's crack open some quick housekeeping. Yeah, then we're going shopping. We got to get chinos.
Christmas shopping.
Yeah, we got an engagement party in which I had an outfit planned that involved chinos, and then I stained my chinos, so now I need to buy more chinos.
I like the Fultron chino. I think that's a good cut.
Fultron.
Yeah.
All right.
Banana Republic.
we'll check. I got a Nordstrom gift card, so...
Okay. Oh, well, Nordstrom will have chinos too. I feel like we're dropping a lot of company names without any from any of these companies.
Look, that's not a plug. I just happen to have a Nordstrom gift card. That's not a pro or anti-Nordstrom statement. It's just, it is what it is.
Nordstrom, the best store in Santa Monica. Come on, babe, we're going to get paid for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we will, until we see any money, I'm giving Apple, Nordstrom, and Banana Republic all a 7 at best. They are.
Well, my score is not for sale.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, housekeeping. Matt, did you find out the answer the whereabouts of your travel funds?
I've been to America quite a few times, so it's hard to know exactly when I had that conversation with you and what I did with the travel, you know, like, but this is what I could find out. on the 11th of September 2015, I transferred back into Australian dollars, I think.
I don't think that rate was as good, man. I think I'm pretty sure you peaked in 2013.
Yeah. So I think I missed out there, and it was like $1,400.
Matt, rolling in the travel card money.
Yep.
What were you planning on doing in America?
Just thought it was better to have a bit of extra money there, like, so I didn't run out. But yeah. I currently, apparently, on one of my travel money cards, have $144.68.
Ah. That can get you, one night at the Wyndham in Santa Monica.
Yeah, that is, what was I going to say? That is, from my trip earlier this year.
So this was a bigger trip. You were less financially responsible that trip. You went nuts, spent all of your travel card money.
Maybe I learnt from that time.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I learned from the first time before. Actually, I don't need that much money, and maybe I had less to start with.
You're like, life's too short, man. I should just live life to the fullest, spend this money while I can instead of waiting for a better exchange rate that'll never come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see what the biggest expenditure was on that card when I was in America. We've got so far $24 at the brick and mortar.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, that was with you. Yeah. $37 at American Eagle, again, the average company. $35 at a place called Sunny Spot.
Ah, Sunny Spot. That's a hip. It's a hip place.
Is that where I got the waffles with you? Or no, maybe not.
Sunny Spot is the kind of like a Caribbean style bar.
Can't remember.
All these priceless memories that Matt and I created together.
Anyway, anything else to talk about in housekeeping?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to get a La La Land outing together on Boxing Day, if people are interested.
Quick plug.
I was telling Jonathan before the podcast, I was at a party on Saturday night speaking to someone. They were heaps keen to see La La Land. I said, let's see it. Let's do it. When are you free after Boxing Day, or from Boxing Day? They said, going away on the 27th, so it has to be Boxing Day. Talked to one of our mutual friends, said, are you in? They're like, yeah, sounds great. Talking to the mutual friend yesterday, they were like, oh, you should go with my sister to the beach on Boxing Day. So we're now trying to gather a group that will want to see La La Land on Boxing Day.
Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, how could anyone say no?
Yes. Yeah, I've invited, like, look, the sister will get invited. Maybe that could be on the way to the beach or after the beach.
So, I've seen La La Land. So a La La Land podcast could be coming, but it hinges on Matt's ability to wheel and deal in this Survivor-style battle of wits. Can he outwit, outlast, outplay his friends in order to get them to see La La Land on Boxing Day?
I'll message the friend now and just say, what were your thoughts re-La La Land on Boxing Day? Is re cool, or should I say? What were your La La Land thoughts on Boxing Day?
You know, with the corporate hustle and bustle, I don't have time to type out regarding.
Yeah.
I need an answer by the end of the hour.
So I'm going to be working overtime trying to get these friends to go see La La Land on Boxing Day.
I've got one more episode of Westworld to watch. Matt, have you seen Westworld?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I've been fans of Gold Derby. May have been watching my weekly video recaps of Westworld.
Very cool. Well, not me, because no spoilers. But afterwards.
You can now watch the first nine.
Yeah, I can watch the first nine. So there you go. La La Land, Westworld reviews coming up soon. And, yeah, look, lots of podcasts to be excited about.
Are you going to see the Star Wars?
I probably should. Star Wars.
I think we should probably talk about it.
Yeah. That'll be in there somewhere. So there you go.
My friend with a busy Boxing Day, so they thought it was better than The Force Awakens.
Ooh. Ooh.
Hot take.
Well, there you go. We hope you're enjoying the holiday season. For Christmas, we're going to be bringing you lots of podcasts. And
we'll do it.
We're going to do it. All right. See you next week.
Yay. Bye.